to see all of you out. And truly, we have so much to rejoice in this morning, don't we? Especially as we remember Jesus Christ and how He rose again from the dead. The tomb is empty, and we can rejoice in that today. Amen. Let's go ahead and take a quick look at our bulletins. Because of the special Sunday, we will not be having our Park Ridge Manor ministry in the afternoon, and we won't be having an evening service. That way, it'll give you more time to spend with family and friends and have a good time of fellowship there with your families. On Tuesday, we do have our Ladies Missionary Guild at 7 o'clock. And then Wednesday night, we have our Bible study and prayer meeting. And so keep those things in mind. I'd like to read these verses. They're there in the bulletin. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verses 20 through 22. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. Rejoice in that. And it's not just today, it's every day. But especially today we rejoice in that. As we think about VBS coming up quickly, April 30th, there will be a meeting for those who are wanting to volunteer. That will be Saturday, April 30th at 7 o'clock here at the church. So keep that in mind. And then also, we have a Sunday school teachers meeting coming up. That's May 1st after the morning service. And so keep that in mind as well. We're still taking offerings to help with the Japan earthquake relief offering. If you'd like to give toward that, just designate your offering accordingly. And then also on the back table, we have our new May church activity calendars. And so keep those things in mind. I think that's all of our announcements. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do truly thank you this morning for Jesus Christ. And we are rejoicing in the fact that He has rose again from the dead. Thank you that even right now He is at your right hand, even interceding for us. We do thank you for what Jesus has done for us, who He is, what He means to us. And truly our life is in Him, our hope and our joy. So easy to get caught up in our day's activities, to get caught up in the routine of life. And sometimes we put Jesus to the back of our mind. But I do pray that every day we'd be thinking about Jesus Christ and what He has done for us. I do pray that we'd be endeavoring to serve You to our best. And we realize it's only by grace, by Your grace, that we are able to live a life that is pleasing in Your sight. But we do thank You for that grace that You have showered upon us. And so we do thank You for Jesus. We do thank You for this time to gather together this morning. And what a blessing the fellowship it is. And what a blessing it is to worship You in spirit and truth. As we lift up our voices together, as we look into the Word, I do pray that You would just work in our hearts. Pray that we'd have soft hearts that are willing to change, to be more like Your Son, Jesus Christ. And so I do even pray for the many other churches that preach the gospel. I pray that You'd work through them in a great way. Even do think of our missionaries in foreign lands, and even missionaries in the United States that are proclaiming Your word faithfully. And we know that Your word will not return void. And so I do pray that even today many souls would be saved, many would believe on Jesus Christ as their Savior. And I do pray that they would be discipled as well. And so we do rejoice this morning. We do thank You and praise You. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
This is an amazing day. It's a day when we commemorate a resurrection. I'm sure all of you have been to a funeral before, as have I. And it isn't necessarily a happy time. I'm willing to bet that any of you who have ever known somebody who has died has not seen them since. They're not here. What hope is there unless there is someone to conquer the grave? Somebody did that. Jesus Christ rose from the dead, and today we can celebrate that. Because of that, as it says in Colossians, see to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of this world, for you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. If we die without that hope, there is no hope beyond the grave. But because Jesus rose from the dead, we have hope for all eternity, because when we die, we will be risen with him again in glory. Incredible. Incredible. And that's why we can praise him. That's why we can rejoice. And that's why we need to turn to 216 and sing Christ Arose. So find that in your psalm books and stand along with me. 216, Christ Arose.
Our scripture reading this morning is in the Gospel of Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 12. Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened, as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then, as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, 'The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and the third day rise again.' And they remembered his words. Then they returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. And their words seemed to them like idle tales, and they did not believe them. But Peter arose and ran to the tomb, and stooping down, he saw the linen cloths lying by themselves, and he departed, marveling to himself at what had happened."
If you have your song books, you can just keep them open to that same page, 217. 217, "Christ the Lord is risen today." Things. I'm sure you do too. I very much like the stuff I have. Maybe someday God will give me grace and I'll get over this, but I know every time my wife reminds me that we need to write a check for Sunday morning, I always get a twang of, I don't know what it is, probably covetousness, wishing that I could keep that. That which is already God's. But think about this. God did not withhold anything from us. He gave his very son for you and me. He gave his only son for you and me. And he did it willingly, freely. He was God. There was always another way. There was no reason why he needed to redeem sinful humanity. He could have just let us go and suffer and die like we should have. But he gave his son willingly, freely, lovingly. For no other reason than the fact that he loved us and to give glory to himself. And yet, Christ has done so much for us and God has given his only son for us. And yet, I still feel jealous. Still covet those few dollars that demonstrate how much Christ did for me. How much I'm thankful for that. And this is the way we need to give, always. He'll never leave us. We're never going to have lack of want. But we always have Christ, and that's always enough. I hope that is true in my heart. I hope it's true in all of our hearts. Let's pray this morning. God in heaven, I pray that we would come to you this morning with truly the sense of awe that is befitting standing before your throne. Father, I pray that you would forgive me, forgive all of us, Lord, for falling in love with the things we have, falling in love with the joy that it gives us, rather, Lord, than being completely and utterly infatuated with our Savior, Jesus Christ. And Father, your word says in Romans that one of the greatest sins of a fallen humanity is that they were not grateful to you. And so, Lord, I pray that as people who know you, who have been washed by the blood of Jesus Christ, that we would be a people that are thankful for everything you have done and everything we have. And Lord, that this little token, whatever it may be that we put in the plate, would be a demonstration of that gratitude, that thankfulness. And Lord, on this day when we commemorate the day when death's hold on us was broken, and Father, that we have a hope beyond the grave, above the grave, that we would most of all be thankful on this day. And Lord, let us praise you unrestrained by any weight or sin that clings so closely. And Lord, rejoice that no matter what we have done, no matter what we will do to violate your holy character, Jesus Christ's blood was all sufficient beyond it all. And so, Lord, let us thank you most of all for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Were You There? Takes us through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. If you have in your psalm books, you should find The Power of the Cross. We're going to be singing that shortly. It does the same. It takes us through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But then, notice in the fourth verse, it takes us one step further. We sing about what Christ's resurrection guarantees for us. Oh, to see my name written in the wounds, for through your suffering I am free. Death is crushed to death, life is mine to live, won through your selfless love. Let's sing The Power of the Cross. Let's stand together as we do so. Don't have one of these sheets, they should be in the songbook. Otherwise, saddle up to somebody who has one. Let's sing The Power of the Cross. Singing, you may be seated.
Amen. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the cross of Jesus Christ. It's not just for the piece of wood that Christ was nailed upon. It's not that piece of wood that we're so thankful for. We're thankful for Jesus Christ himself and his sacrifice how he laid down his life for us. How he was buried, how he rose again that third day, and we truly rejoice in that. We thank you for Jesus Christ, because he is our all in all. And so I do pray, even as we rejoice this morning, do pray that it wouldn't be something that we just do this morning, but that it would be something that we do every single day, ever remindful of who Jesus is, what he has done for us, the life that we have in him. And so I do pray that even as you gave your Son to us, I do pray that we would give our lives to you. And so we do pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, today is a special day. It's a day of joy, it's a day of thanksgiving, a day of jubilation. And it is a day known as Resurrection Sunday, or perhaps more commonly known as Easter Sunday. And I think that most people realize what Easter is all about, although there are some that really don't understand. They may have a mental knowledge of what Easter is all about, but they really don't understand why Easter is considered a holiday, even on our calendars. Why? It's the day that we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We know that. It is the day that we remember that Jesus rose from the grave, that he was victorious over sin and death and hell. We can rejoice that our Savior is no longer in that tomb. You look at all of the other founders of religions in this world, so-called religions, and they still lie in the tomb, don't they? But Jesus Christ, he is no longer in the tomb. He has ascended to heaven. He rose again from the dead. We can rejoice that even right now, Jesus is at the right hand of our Father. He is interceding for us. He is our advocate. So that is the true meaning of Resurrection Sunday. The true meaning of Easter. Now, the other day I was at a so-called Easter party at a nursing home. And do you know what the main focus of that party was? What do you think? Easter bunnies, you know, that was a big part of the theme there. There wasn't much of a theme to the party at all. Yeah, it was an Easter party, but really it was just another excuse to have a party, really, is what it was. But yes, the theme was, you know, you have Easter bunnies and you have the Easter eggs, and they even went out and bought these little funny Easter bunny masks that you could put on, and so the residents put some of those on and whatever, only they were too small because they were for kids, you know. But the residents had fun with that. And we had punch and we had little treats, and you know, it was a nice little party, but yet, what was the point to it? There really wasn't too much focus. We had a little bit of Easter trivia there. And the first question that she started out with, as far as trivia, what is the religious meaning of Easter? And there was just kind of an awkward pause. And then someone voiced up, well, it's the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's what it's about. But then they hurriedly rushed on to some other trivia. They didn't spend too much time talking about Jesus. Now, then they went on to the Easter bunnies and the Easter eggs. And there's even a comment about Ishtar. Do you know anything about Ishtar? That's a goddess back in the ancient religions. And Ishtar, does that kind of sound like something? Kind of sounds like Easter, doesn't it? And that was a goddess that the pagans would have worshipped. Do you know two symbols that are associated with Ishtar? Yes, the egg and the rabbit. Isn't that interesting? And do you know what type of a goddess Ishtar was? A fertility goddess. Okay, so isn't it fascinating, and it's really sad too, what does the world focus on when it comes to Easter? They focus on the Easter bunnies, the Easter eggs. They focus on all these things. And what they're really focusing on are things that symbolize the worship of that pagan, detestable goddess. That's what they're focusing on. Now, they may not realize what the Easter bunny and what the Easter egg originally meant, but yet that is what they are focusing on. Those things are carryovers from the devilish worship of a detestable idol. That's just the fact of the matter. But the world tries to drown out the real meanings of the things that we celebrate. We may call this Easter Sunday, but we realize it is Resurrection Sunday. We are celebrating Jesus Christ, His resurrection from the grave. But the world tries to drown all of that out and instead focus on the Easter Bunny and the Easter eggs and all of these nice things, so-called nice and innocent things. But today we don't want to get sidetracked by these things that the world focuses on. We don't want to even have today, as a church, we don't want to have an Easter egg hunt. No, we don't want to have that. We want to focus in on the person of Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus Christ. Now, a couple of days ago, on Friday, that was a day that was celebrated in some circles as well, wasn't it? And oftentimes, what is the Friday before Easter called? It is called Good Friday. And what is commemorated on that day? The crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Now, this year, there is, once again, kind of a competition as far as celebrations are concerned. Because you know what this year also was on Friday? It was Earth Day. Okay? And so once again, what does the world focus on? They're focusing on Earth. And some people even go to the point to where they basically worship the Earth. Isn't it how sad that is, though, to celebrate the Earth and then to deny the Creator of the Earth, Jesus Christ? Right. How ludicrous that is. But yet that is what the world is all about. Trying to get your attention away from the true meaning of life, the true meaning of hope that is in Jesus Christ, and get it focused on something else. But going back to Good Friday, the day that is associated with the death of Jesus Christ, well, you may be wondering, well, why is it called Good Friday? Whenever it remembers the death of Jesus Christ. And in and of itself, the death of Jesus Christ, what men did to Jesus, that was wicked, wasn't it? It was evil what men did to Jesus Christ. So how can we call that Good Friday? We realize Jesus didn't die at a ripe old age of 100 or 120. Jesus didn't die a natural death. He didn't die in the midst of a military campaign. He wasn't what people would call a patriotic leader of the nation. No, Jesus died at the hands of His own people. His own people called out for His death. They accused Him of the sin of blasphemy. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 26. It was the high priest that really called out for His death. In Matthew chapter 26, verses 63 through 68... Matthew chapter 26, verses 63 through 68, as we focus for now upon the death of Jesus Christ. And here the high priest says, "I put you under oath by the living God. Tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God." Verse 64, Jesus said to him, "It is as you said. Nevertheless, I say to you, hereafter you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power and coming on the clouds of heaven." Then the high priest tore his clothes, saying, "He has spoken blasphemy. What further need do we have of witnesses? Look, you now have heard his blasphemy. What do you think?" They answered and said, "He is deserving of death." Then they spat in his face and beat him. And others struck him with the palms of their hands, saying, "Prophesy to us, Christ. Who is the one who struck you?" And so the Jews condemn Jesus Christ. They bring him to Pontius Pilate, who would be the Roman governor, because the Jews, as a subservient people under the Romans, they were unable to put someone to death lawfully. And so Jesus is brought before Pilate. Now, do you know anything about Pilate? Was he some outstanding, upstanding citizen of the Roman government? No. He wasn't someone that we would say was an outstanding citizen, not by any means. But even Pontius Pilate himself realized that Jesus hadn't done anything worthy of death. And Pontius Pilate, in his own way, tried to find a way so that he wouldn't have to deliver Jesus over to death. He knew that Jesus didn't deserve death. But you know what? Pontius Pilate really wasn't committed to justice. He wasn't as committed to justice as he was placating the people. He was looking out for his own political career. And so in the end, what did he do? He gave in to the people's desires. He gave in to the desires of the Jewish leaders. He gave in to the cries of the people whenever they said, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" And you know what happened after Pontius Pilate basically said he will be crucified. He was mercilessly scourged. There's a crown of thorns put upon his head. He was beaten with a rod. With a reed, rather. He was mocked. He was compelled to bring his own cross to Golgotha. And as he was upon that way, he couldn't bear the cross. And so they took one, Simon from Cyrene. But there upon the cross, Jesus was in unimaginable pain and agony. There were nails that were driven through his hands and his feet. And there the people passed by, and the people mocked him. The soldiers mocked him. And even the thieves who were on his right and on his left, they mocked him. We read in Matthew chapter 27, verses 45 and 46. Now from the sixth hour until the ninth hour, there was darkness all over the land. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is, my God, why have you forsaken me? We think that the physical pain was terrible, and it was terrible. But it was at this time that Jesus endured the most difficult, the most unbearable pain and suffering. Because it was for that three-hour time period that the weight of the sin of the world was placed upon Jesus Christ. As he hung upon that cross, the Father looked the other way. The Father had forsaken him. He was alone with the brunt of our sin. And then we read in verses 50 through 54, and Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth quaked, and the rocks were split, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the graves after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. So when the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and the things that had happened, they feared greatly, saying, truly this was the Son of God. And you know what? The soldier was right. Truly that was the Son of God. Jesus, God in the flesh, he had borne our sins in his body on the tree. He had gone through that most terrible experience for us, for me, and for you. He died on that cross. How can we call a day such as that Good Friday? The only way we can call it good is whenever we realize that Jesus Christ died for us. Whenever we realize that this was part of God's perfect plan, even before the creation of the world, God had foreordained Jesus Christ to be the Savior of the world, to die for us. We call it Good Friday. It's not because of the evil that the men did. No, it's because Jesus willingly laid down his life for us. We think of Isaiah chapter 53, verses 4 and 5. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. As Jesus was upon that cross, he was smitten by God. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Jesus died for us. We read in 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 21, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And then Jesus himself in John chapter 10 says, even looking ahead to his death on the cross, he says, therefore my Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. So that's what we want to focus on this morning. Yes, Jesus' death, as we look at it from a human perspective, it was an unthinkable evil on the part of mankind. And it was an unthinkable evil on the part of man. But yet, It is also true, the death of Jesus Christ is the perfect goodness of God showered upon mankind. Because the death of Jesus Christ is the only way that sinners can have a relationship with God. Paul says in Romans 6 and verse 23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." We read in chapter 5 and verse 8 of Romans, "But God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." That's why we can call it Good Friday, because Christ died for us. That is God's gift to mankind. We don't celebrate the fact that men did a terrible, atrocious evil on that day. We celebrate the fact that Jesus voluntarily did what? He laid down His life for us. He perfectly obeyed the will of the Father. Whenever Jesus was talking to His disciples, He said, yes, He would lay down His life for the sheep, but what else did He say? He also said, "I will take it again." And so even though the Romans drove the nails into Jesus' hands and His feet, it wasn't the Romans, it wasn't the Jews who killed Jesus. It's not as if they had the power to take Jesus' life from Him. No, it was Jesus who laid down His life willingly for us. Jesus said, "No man takes my life from me, I lay it down willingly." He has power to lay it down, and He has power to take it again. That's what we celebrate this morning. We rejoice in the fact that Jesus died for us. But that's not where the story ends. Because if the story ended there, what hope would we have? If Jesus simply died for us, and that's it, what hope would there be? There would be no hope for us. If Jesus had stayed in the grave, we would be the most miserable of all mankind. But Jesus didn't stay in that grave. We read earlier in our scripture reading, what do we read? We read of the women that came to the tomb early Sunday morning. And they found that the stone was rolled away. And the angels spoke to them and they said, do you remember what the angel said? "Why do you seek the living among the dead?" Don't you remember what Jesus told you beforehand? "I'm going to die, but I'm going to rise again." And so what do the women do? They run off and they tell the other disciples, "Jesus has risen again." And Jesus appeared to the women. Jesus appeared to the disciples. He appeared to a group of some 500 people at one time. It is an undisputable fact that Jesus Christ died and He rose again. Jesus has risen. He has risen indeed. But do you realize what it means that Jesus rose again from the dead? We celebrate it. We know it happened. But why is it so important that Jesus rose again from the dead? Let's consider a few passages even this morning. Whenever Jesus rose again from the dead, He showed the world who He was, who God is. He showed the world that He indeed is God Almighty. He showed the world that yes, He is the incarnate Son of God, who is worthy of all the glory and the praise. Paul says in Romans chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, "Concerning His Son Jesus Christ our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead." That's what Paul tells us in Romans 1. We continue on in Romans 1, verses 16 and 17. Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." And so the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news that He was crucified, that He was buried, that He rose again the third day, that good news is the power of God to salvation. So whenever Jesus Christ died, whenever He rose again, He was showing the world that He indeed is the Son of God. He was showing the power of God to the world. With the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that is the power of God. Oftentimes, whenever we think of the gospel, at least sometimes, we focus so much upon the death of Christ, and we should. That's rightfully so. But we must not forget about the resurrection, because without the resurrection, the gospel has no power. Without the resurrection, the gospel message truly would be a pitiful message. That's what Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 15. You turn there with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We must not forget about the resurrection. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning with verse 12. Now, if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty, and your faith is also empty. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then all those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. And so if Jesus hadn't risen from the dead, we would have no salvation. If Christ hadn't risen again, we would still be trapped in the slime pit of sin. If Christ hadn't risen, our faith would be futile, it would be useless, it would be meaningless, it would be vanities of vanities. That's where we would be if Christ had not rose again from the dead. And so the resurrection, it's integral to the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. It's the source of our hope. Because Jesus rose from the dead, then we who have believed in Jesus, we too will rise again from the dead. We continue on in 1 Corinthians 15. Look at verses 20 through 23. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the firstfruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive, but each one in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, afterward those who are Christ's at his coming. And then verse 49, and as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. And then verse 57, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we celebrate today Christ has risen again from the dead. And we realize because Christ rose again, he is the firstfruits. He truly is the first one who rose again from the dead, never to die again. He is the firstfruits. And it is because he rose again, that is why we have the hope, if we have trusted in Jesus Christ, that we too, one day, will rise again from the dead. We have that hope. One day we will be like Jesus Christ. And so it's because Jesus died for us and rose again, that is why we have the hope that we have. That's how we can have victory over sin and death. We're no longer dead in those trespasses and sins. We are a recipient of eternal life. Instead of being a slave of sin, we are now slaves of righteousness. Now in Jesus Christ, we are able to say no to sin. We are able to say yes to righteousness by God's grace. One day, we will be freed from this body. This body is not a perfect body. This body has aches and pains, the results of sin so many years ago when Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden. One day, we will no longer have to struggle against sin, because one day, we too will rise again from the dead and be like Jesus Christ. What a hope we have in Jesus. We read the words of Peter in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. It is because Jesus rose again from the dead that we have a living hope. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. And Peter says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. And so it's because of God's mercy, and truly it's an incomprehensible mercy and grace that God has showered upon us. It's through the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ that we are able to be born again to a living hope. A living hope. What is that living hope? It is the living hope that we have a wonderful inheritance in heaven. Just imagine what heaven will be like. There's so many in this world, whenever they go to a funeral of a loved one, they think, well, that's it. You know, he had a great time on this earth, but that's it. That's all of it. That's the end of his existence. But we can rejoice in the fact that as believers, whenever we pass from this world, we have an inheritance stored up for us in heaven. And what an inheritance it is. That is a living hope. And it's not something that we just say, well, I have that hope in the future. No, that's a hope that we have right now. A hope for the here and now. But yet not everyone enjoys that living hope. Because not everyone has been born again. And so this morning we must ask the question, what does it mean to be born again? And also the question you must ask yourself, have I been born again? What does it mean to be born again? Well, there's a man back in Jesus' day that was wondering what it meant to be born again. And Jesus explains in John chapter 3, verses 13 through 18. He explains this to Nicodemus. And what does he say here? No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven. That is the Son of Man who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Whoever believes in Jesus has eternal life. What does it mean to believe? What does it mean to believe in Jesus? It's more than just knowing who Jesus is. It's more than just believing that he existed. To believe in something means that you put your trust in something. And so when you put your trust in Jesus Christ, then you believe that he is who he said he was. That you believe that he is the perfect Son of God, God in the flesh. You believe that he perfectly did his Father's will. He never once sinned. You believe that he fulfilled the Father's perfect plan by laying down his life for you and then taking it again when he rose again from the dead. To believe in Jesus is to trust in him. To trust that he died on the cross for you. He bore your sin upon that tree. For the wages of sin is death. Jesus bore your death penalty on the cross. If you trust in Jesus, you trust in what he did for you. But not just that he died on the cross for you, but he also rose again from the dead. That is what it means to believe in Jesus. And if you believe in Jesus, you have eternal life. You are born again to a living hope. You have an inheritance that is undefiled, that is unfading, reserved in heaven for you. You have that confident hope that one day you too will rise again. What a hope we have in Jesus. What a day of rejoicing it is, knowing that he rose again. Do you have a reason to celebrate this morning? I hope you do. But if you have not accepted Jesus Christ, you have no reason to celebrate. Have you trusted in Jesus this morning? There is hope in him. Let us rejoice. We serve a risen Savior. Amen. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for Jesus Christ. And it's so easy just to let Easter become, you know, just a head knowledge, a mental knowledge, knowing that Jesus rose again. But yeah, I pray that you would impress it upon our hearts, the fact that Jesus died for us. He laid down His life as the Almighty Son of God, and then He took it again when He rose again from the dead. And by that resurrection, He displayed the almighty power of God. By rising again, He is giving us who believe. He gives us a hope that is living. He gives us an inheritance incorruptible. We thank You for Your perfect plan in Jesus Christ. We rejoice in Him today. I do pray that we'd have a burden to share this good news with others. I do pray that every day we'd live in light of the good news of Jesus, that He died for us and that He rose again. We do thank You for Him. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's stand together in closing this morning and turn to 358. 358. God gave us His only Son. He died and rose again for us. It's only fitting that we should sing, "I am Thine, O Lord," in light of that. 358.
Jesus Christ this morning? Are you rejoicing in what He has done for you? And as we just sang, is this a prayer of your heart that we would be drawn nearer, nearer to the cross where Thou hast died? Truly, Jesus should be our all in all. Do we have that desire, that unquenchable desire to know God more, to serve Him with our life, to even give our lives to Him because He gave His life for us? I am Thine, O Lord.
Let's close with the second verse.
Consecrate me now to Thy service, Lord, by the power of grace divine. Let my soul look up with a steadfast hope, and my will be lost in Thine. Draw me nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where Thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to Thy precious bleeding side.
Lord, we do thank You so much for Jesus Christ. Father, we thank You that You have revealed Him to us in Your Word, Your sure Word. Lord, I pray that we would not be shaken and our faith would not be troubled by whatever circumstances or doubts creep into our lives or we see around us, but Lord, that we would cling so closely to You, that we would be able to always rejoice, no matter what hardship we have, that beyond the hardships we have, eternal life in Jesus Christ, guaranteed by His resurrection. And now we are able to rejoice because we have our own resurrection awaiting for us. We have no fear for life after death, Father, because we have already been guaranteed eternal life because of what Jesus Christ has done and continues to do. And I pray, Father, that we would commit ourselves then to completely and wholly cling to Him and making Him our all in all and in everything. And it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.